Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game, and there it is! Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
It is the Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field-level tickets. See the Bronx Bombers against Pittsburgh at Yankee Stadium Friday, September 27th. Right now, be caller number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz and The Fan. Right now on the line is host of You Better, You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better, You Bet podcast. For more analysis, just search You Better, You Bet wherever you find your podcast. Of course, you could also hear them Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on The Fan. Nick, happy week two.
What's going on, guys? How are we doing today?
Well, I mean, better than both New York teams who laid an egg in week
Jets
one.
Jets will be okay.
That's
I don't know about my team. Jets will be okay.
Start there then. When you say, okay, we started the show, I said I need to see a dominant performance at the very least from their defense against the Titans. BT saying just wants to see a win. What do you see here with the Jets going into Tennessee week two?
Yeah, so, I mean, betting-wise, the Jets are a four-point favorite in the game. They were 3.5, so they got bet out a little bit. So, like, betting interest thus far on the New York Jets, the road team in this game, the total sitting at 41. If you made me bet the game, I would lay the Jets. So I would never bet Tennessee after what we saw Will Levis do last week. That idiot.
Jeez. I mean, you had the Titans over the Bears. I know.
The Titans was my like, I mean, it's one of those where they play that game 50 times. Like, the Titans at least cover like 49 of them. That was the one outcome that was really bad. Like, Will Levis is freaking brutal. Like, he's going to throw the ball to the other team. Even, like, get Calvin Ridley wide open. Looks like me throwing the ball under through him by 20 yards. Like, this should be a spot where the Jets should be able to completely shut down the Titans passing game. Now, the thing that gives you some pause and concerns you a little bit, a couple things, right? The Jets were on defense. Obviously, you know, this audience knows it. Brutal on Monday night against the Niners. We did see Tony Pollard look awesome last week for the Tennessee Titans, look rejuvenated like he did in Dallas. I don't think he's going to have that same type of success against this Jets defensive front. I really don't see that happening. And the other thing that's a bit of a cause for concern, Breece Hall's awesome. Like, I took him in the top three of fantasy football leagues if I had the opportunity. Tennessee's defensive front is excellent. Two great run-stuffing defensive tackles and Jeffrey Simmons and, like, 390-pound rookie Tavondre Sweat. I don't know if this is going to be, like, 150-yard Breece Hall day. So what you need, Jets fans, like, an efficient Aaron Rodgers performance, no turnovers, defense to play great, and I think they can definitely win this game by 7 to 10 points. I don't think the Jets need to look dominant. I just think they got to get out of Dodge with the win, get Mike Williams healthy, and then the schedule opens up for the Jets to be they should be 3-1 going into that game in week 5 at home against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and that's a lot of steps down the road there, but you're not wrong, and it's
against bad teams, though, to be fair.
Yeah, no question. And then it tightens up a little bit, and then we'll see who they are. I don't need a wipeout. I wouldn't mind one, but I need a win. And I'm with you in that regard. I'll tell you what, though, and I'm going to the game, and you know, I like to have a little fun, get a little sweat going, especially when I go to games. I don't know if I'm touching this one, because you said the Jets should win by 7 or 10, and they very well might, and I hope they do. I don't feel comfortable enough, because and I know it's one game, but what the Titans do well, they don't allow opposing teams to run. You talked about Breece probably not going bonkers. You mentioned Pollard. He had 80-plus yards, 5.1 yards a pop, and so they run the ball. They stop the run. The Jets' defense interiorly is soft here. It's the home opener. Jets coming off a short week, 3,000 miles away, back on the road. Like, yeah, the Jets should win, but to think that the Jets mop them by double digits, I'm not laying that money.
Well, they can mop them by double digits, but what has to happen is, like, Levis has to turn the ball over 4 times. And the good news is, like, that can definitely happen. Like, it can definitely happen. But I don't know if Levis plays a clean game. And remember, like this is not a made-up quote. Titans head coach Brian Callahan on Monday said, if we had put, this is a real, I had to check to see if this was The Onion. Brian Callahan said on Monday, if we had punted on 1st and 10 every possession in the second half, we might have won the game.
He did say that. Did you see that? He did say that.
I did not see that.
Oh, I bet
it's
the game.
It's a great quote. Yeah.
I promise you that it happened and that he said it. So if I don't think it's likely that Levis plays a clean game, but if he does play a clean game, like, it's probably going to be pretty close at the end, but then like the Jets have Aaron Rodgers and the Titans have Will Levis. It would be a totally, and again, I know everyone knows this, unacceptable beyond belief if the Jets lost this game to Tennessee, whether they cover the 4 or not.
Yeah, and betting aside, I mean, Rodgers threw some beautiful balls, but didn't look particularly nimble, and I think the Jets...
He's 40.
I understood, and that Achilles is repaired, so it's, you know, what. But, you know, even when he was 39, he could run a little bit. I just don't know how much he's going to be able to, forget about running for first downs, but, you know, he's just getting out of the pocket, doing some waggle stuff, just some misdirection. At what point do you think he's there where they let him try that?
Maybe not at all. Like, you're right. Like, there were a couple plays on Monday night against the 49ers, including one. I think it was on the touchdown drive where, I don't know, I watched that drive and I'm like, man, the Jets are going to kill them. I felt really good about that. I think it might have been on the touchdown drive where he rolls out to his right and you can just tell, like, he doesn't have it physically. Now, he's good enough to, like, throw the football, obviously. The mind is still there. But, yeah, like, there are physical limitations for sure. But, look, you knew that going into the season. You knew that going into last season. Maybe a little exacerbated now by the Achilles tear last season. Like, I think that's just part and parcel of the deal this year with Aaron Rodgers, and you figure it out. And I do think that as Mike Williams continues to get healthy and ramped up, by the way, Mike Williams plus 333 to score an anytime touchdown this weekend at BetMGM, played in all, like, the goal-to-go situations last weekend. I know Lazard scored. Like, Mike Williams is the real number two receiver on this team. I think that's a decent bet.
And they said they're going to let him play a lot more. He was on a pitch count last week, so they're going to unleash him a little bit this week.
That's why we had Alan Lazard anytime touchdown, which was really nice. Like, once Williams kind of, like, rounds into form, this offense is going to have, like, another dimension to it. And also, like, once Malachi Corley's ready, played behind Xavier Gibson, like, it's going to take a little bit of time here, and that's why the soft, easy schedule for the Jets, it's really important to win this game, win the next couple. Like, you got to have a pretty gaudy one-loss record going into that huge Buffalo game. I think that's coming up in week 5.
Are you worried at all after what you saw from the defense in week 1 with the Jets?
Well, maybe. I'd say jury's out. It is worth noting you were playing at the home of the reigning defending NFC champions with, like, the whiz kid play caller and Kyle Shanahan with a tremendous offensive line and weapons everywhere. Maybe you just kind of look at that and say, okay, It's the season opener on the road against a really good team, and you would hope, and I guess this is one of the concerns, is like, can Robert Saleh get it out of them? You would hope that those players have enough pride to say, we got punked, because they did, right? They got punked by Jordan. It wasn't even Christian McCaffrey. Got punked by this Niners run game, that they'll come out, and if they come out, like, fiery on Sunday, like the Titans are not going to score in this game. I'm not insinuating a shutout, but, like, the defense should play very well on Sunday.
All right, how about your Giants, Nick? It was, actually, to me, it was beyond belief embarrassment from the Giants in week one. I thought that they were going to win that game. I thought they'd at the very least be competitive against the Vikings at home. If you can't compete in a game like that, when can the Giants compete? What do you think of, you know, the Giants, not only, you know, going into week two against Washington, but just after what you saw week one, where are you at as a Giants fan with this organization?
They make me freaking sick, man. Like, watching this team turns my stomach. My favorite thing is, like, it's, like, all the tweets about, the Giants will tweet, like the final score, hashtag Giants 100. Like, wow. Like, what a great way to celebrate 100 years of Giants football than putting this garbage out on the field. So, like, you're supposed to think of Giants 100, right? Like, of Eli Manning, or, like, Lawrence Taylor, or Bill Parcells, or Tom Coughlin, or Harry Carson, or George Martin, or Plaxico Burress. And you know what I think? That they haven't been able to protect the quarterback in a decade, and Daniel Jones is skipping the ball off the ground like he's spelunking rocks in a lake. I don't understand what the hell I'm watching. Like, I want Brian Daboll to get fat again. Skinny Brian Daboll's brutal calling plays. The team is dreadful. They're an absolute embarrassment, obviously. And I hate them. Like, I really do. Like, I hate this team over the last decade. I love them, but I hate them. Now, with all of that being said, for as bad as Daniel Jones is, he's brutal. For as bad as Brian Daboll is, I don't think he should survive the season. I don't think Joe Shane should get to pick the next quarterback. For as bad as they are definitely better than the Washington Commanders. Now, Jaden Daniels is awesome. He's better than Jones. You know who thinks that? The Giants. In Hard Knocks, you know the show they had creative control over? They allowed that to get into the show, that they wanted to trade for someone else other than Daniel Jones. Like, Daniels is better, but 2 through 53, the Giants are unquestionably better. The Commanders have no offensive line. This should be a Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau game. The Commanders have no secondary. Made Baker Mayfield last week look like prime Joe Montana. I think this is a neighbor's eruption game. He got cleared earlier. He's good to go. This should be a big Wandale Robinson game. His receiving yards prop is in the mid-30s. 12 targets last week. Are people paying attention? And I think this is a Daniel Jones-like bounce-back game. He's awful. He won't be the quarterback next year, but I do like the Giants coming up on Sunday. This is a WTF game. Wrong team favored. Give me Big Blue to win.
That's funny. I like the Giants, too. I don't know if I love them to win. I do think they're going to play a lot better. Let's say they do play really well and they do win. It doesn't sound like it's going to change your opinion on anything, but I mean, at least do you latch on to a modicum of hope that, you know, maybe they could piece something together and just keep it fairly interesting by Halloween, or no matter what, you think it's over?
No, it's definitely over.
What were you thinking in 2022, though? Honestly.
Like, going into the season, I felt like, I mean, different circumstances. That's year one of a head coach GM regime. So, like, the expectations are low, but you're also like, okay, like, maybe we could have something rolling here. Because, like, you have the unknown, right? And Daboll obviously, like, rolled the dice in week one against Tennessee. They go for two. They have, like, that really great win that kind of sets the tone for the season. Like, we're in year three of this now with Daboll. This is year three of Jones in the same offensive scheme. Like, what's the bull case for the Giants? That Daniel Jones is going to play well? Okay, like, it could happen, but this is, like, what we talk about, like, in my world. It could happen, but BT, like, would you bet on it?
No.
So, no. Like, then I choose to not be optimistic. What I think is more likely is at some point, the Giants, like the Broncos did last year at the end of the year with Russell Wilson, when they benched him and he was healthy because he had injury guarantees for this season and they played Jarrett Stidham, at some point the Giants will bench Daniel Jones while he's healthy to play Drew Lock because they're not going to want to pay Daniel Jones next year. That's my prediction. I would bet on that.
When do you think that might happen?
Well, I think we kind of need to see, like, are we really going to go off the rails here? Because I think if this is going to be, now I know, like, last year, like, week two, they had, like, the big comeback win in Arizona, and maybe season could be saved, and then it was a train wreck after that. If this is going to be, like, what it was last year when Jones played, I don't see how he makes it to me. How can you keep putting him out there if this is what it's going to be? I hope it's better for him personally. Like, you feel bad for the guy. I don't know. Like, you tell me, man. Like, what's the upside for this team? Like, absolute best case scenario. 7-10? Best case?
Maybe 8-9, absolutely.
Well, prior to week one, I was thinking best case, maybe 9. I mean, if everything broke right, maybe 10.
They're a 5-win team.
Yeah, after week one, I would say the best case probably 8.
They got carved up. They got embarrassed by Sam Darnold in week one.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Yeah, no, I get it. And, you know, looking ahead, Nick, and to tie in a little bit around the league, we're talking with Nick Kostos, of course. Listen to him on Sunday mornings.
Giants 100.
The Giants, you know, look, I mean, their schedule is what it is. If they can't compete against the Vikings, which they didn't, if they can't somehow beat the Commanders, they got Cleveland week three. Is Cleveland, because that was one of the alarming things to me, how bad Cleveland looked. Watson looked awful. The defense got destroyed by Dallas. Also, you know, Dallas, a team the Giants are going to face twice this year. What did you make of Cleveland week one, and are they that bad of a team?
I'm not going to try and I could give you like a long answer here. I'll try to make it as short as possible. So the Browns like can't achieve any great outcomes this season. They can't win the division. They can't go to the Super Bowl. The quarterback is an albatross slung around the team's collective neck and is also like a terrible person in addition to that. And like, I don't know how long this is going to stretch on for. So like in terms of them maybe benching him for Jameis Winston. But it needs to be said, the Browns last weekend against Dallas played without like three really important members on their offensive line and might get all of them back coming up this week for the game against Jacksonville. So like the Browns are like not good. They're not quarterbacked well, but the rest of the roster is good enough that like they will definitely be favored against the Giants coming up in week three, unless like, I don't know, like Deshaun Watson's the worst quarterback ever and they trot him out there again in week number three. So I don't think that's a gimme for the Giants at all, a game they are likely to lose.
And think about it. So if you get pasted at home by Minnesota, this game is essentially a must win. If you're saying that Cleveland, and I agree with you, that Cleveland, their defense is going to be better than even what they showed week one and better than what the
and
Giants
are. And a little misleading, like box score also,
right, yeah, right, because the blowout. And then you got Dallas after that. I mean, at Seattle, Bengals, Eagles. I mean, if they don't win this week, where's the win coming for the Giants?
Yeah, like, I do think they'll win this week, so, like, I can't say they're going to start, like, 0-8. But, yeah, like they're bad. Like, there's nothing, I don't know, like, what else to say. I wish this were not the case. I don't want to, like, hate on my own team. I wish they were good. Just, like, they're not. Like, sorry, everybody. Sorry.
What do you think about Giant fans who are already calling for tanking? And there's some of them. They're rooting for a loss.
Well, I saw my guy. I love Sean Morash. One of my absolute favorites. He's way right about this. I've been saying this for years. Like, it was like, you know, the whole tanking thing. BT, you're a Jets fan. How did you feel about that win against the Rams at the end of Adam Gase's last season?
I'm with you. I mean, talk to Sal. You and I are on the same page.
So here's the question that I would encourage Giants fans to ask themselves. Let's say that you get the best case scenario this season. Let's say they go 9-8, make the playoffs, they're a wild card team. Don't make the Super Bowl, but have a really nice season. Answer this question honestly. Do the Giants currently on their roster have a quarterback, realistically, that can ever win a Super Bowl, yes or no?
No, of course not.
Okay, so if the answer to that question is no, then, like, why do you want the team to be good enough that they might bring the same quarterback back next year?
Well,
like,
they can't bring the same quarterback back again next year.
But
then why wouldn't you want them to tank so you ensure them getting the best quarterback? Listen, like, it's never going to, it's a silly question in a way because, like, professional athletes are never going to try and lose. Like, that's never going to be what this is.
But why would a fan root for it? Like, you as a Giants fan, you've devoted so much passion and time and energy over the course of your life. I remember in the Serious Newsroom, you and I used to fight about this back in 2004.
Over the years.
Well,
yeah.
I get it. You grow up, you're more of an adult. I understand that. But why would a diehard Giant fan sit there Sunday at 1 o'clock and watch this team and root for them to lose?
Well, one of my friends is listening right now. We watched 2003. Giants-Bucks Monday Night Football. Frank Walker had a pick six in the game, for people that remember Frank Walker. And I remember turning to my buddy, and Giants were like 4-8, and saying, I would trade every Yankee World Series that we've seen in my lifetime for the Giants to win this game tonight against Tampa. I used to be like the most diehard. You couldn't even imagine them winning or losing would dictate my happiness for that week. So I get the Giants fans out there.
That's fandom, Nick. That's what I'm talking about.
I understand, but I totally get it. I used to live that. But if the whole point of this is, like, we want to get to the Super Bowl. Like, think about how bad the season was, like, the last season with Jim Fossil, and how bad it was, and how absolutely brutal it was, and how, like, we rooted for Jesse Palmer in those last couple games before he hosted the freaking Bachelor, and we rooted for Jesse Palmer in those games in the final days of 2003, the final days of Jim Fossil. But guess what happened because they were bad that season? They had the fourth overall pick, and they traded for Eli Manning. And got two Super Bowls as a result. Yep. So if we're going to be bad this season, and then we get a shot at Quinn Ewers or Carson Beck or another, I don't claim to be grinding the college film to know Lord. Like who the best quarterback, who Shedeur Sanders, whoever it is. If like that quarterback can like take us to the promised land, isn't it worth it to be bad for this year? If you know that no quarterback on the roster this year is ever going to win, like come on.
That's the long answer. The short answer, and I agree. The short answer is so you have a better tomorrow. That's it. Period.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee. You don't know that.
But there's a guarantee that this is not going to be good.
No, there isn't.
Because yeah, there is.
It's the same quarterback that we don't believe in did take them to the playoffs and win a road playoff game.
So they won that road game. It happened. I can't take it away.
What happens? From college, there's no guarantee they're going to be good in the NFL, let alone win a road playoff game.
Okay, like, you're right about that. There's no guarantee. But BT was right when he said this. Like, you know Daniel Jones is never going to win a champion. We know it. It's over.
5 years ago, and they don't listen.
Okay, but sure. Like, yes, you're right. But also,
make the change, like, 3 years ago at the very least.
So who would you?
Shannon Dable. Why not just make the change then with a new head coach?
But he also said he was a top 10 quarterback going into last year, so he did change a little bit.
Top 15, well, who would you rather have? The quarterback that you know can't win or roll the
dice? I understand that, but don't say that you never said that Daniel Jones wasn't going to be good.
No,
because you did.
On Monday, you said they should bench Daniel Jones at halftime. On Tuesday, you said, you know what? Daniel Jones will play. So which one is it?
The one that I stand by, that he should play.
And me saying that Daniel Jones changing after he won a road playoff game, I was giving him a chance, admitting that I was wrong. I was wrong. I thought Daniel Jones sucked. He went out there, won a road playoff game.
Oh, no, you're right.
Then I had to change and say, you know what?
Yep.
Maybe I was wrong and he doesn't suck. He won a road playoff game. Now prove it. So I thought he would last year. He didn't. So I'm not going back and forth on it anymore. He's terrible. And he hasn't gotten any better from year one. So yeah, you're right. I mean, after he won a playoff game, what am I supposed to say? No, he sucked still after that?
You still could have had that opinion. Not that he sucks. But not that you believe
him. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. He didn't. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I haven't believed in Daniel Jones, period. You give him an early start. It's year six. But the point is, if you're going into a season, Nick, you're going into week two, rooting for your team to lose, then why bother watching the Giants this year? Why care about them?
I mean, because I bet and I play tons of fantasy football. And,
yeah, all right, but that's different than a fandom, no?
I'm telling you, like, I understand the fan perspective and why Giants fans would be upset with hearing that. I totally get it. I see no light at the end of the tunnel for this iteration of the Giants. If you know that the quarterback can't win, then, like, why wouldn't you take a shot with a quarterback that might be able? And Sal, you're right. Like, there's no guarantee that any quarterback prospect ever. Bryce Young was the number one pick in the draft last year. Looks like the worst quarterback in, like, the history of the NFL. There's no guarantee ever. But I'd rather roll the dice with an unknown and get the best guy than have things turn out the way they have. Because look, like, even like last year, everyone loved, Tommy DeVito, what a great story. The Monday night win against the Packers, that was great. Also, now we have Malik Nabers instead of Drake May. Like, how's that going, everybody? Great meaningless win. Now here's a wide receiver instead of a quarterback.
Nick,
at some point, it's got to truly bottom out.
Yep. What I find interesting, I mean, most people are fairly aligned with the Jones stuff because it has been a while, but you seem kind of out on Dable, which I find interesting.
Well, I mean, you tell me. This has been two consecutive seasons where they put an absolute train wreck on the field in week one. And you want to say last year, okay, like against Dallas, okay, I kind of understand. I kind of get it. This was, and the offensive line was not as bad this year, week one, as it was last year. I totally get it. But you got housed by the Minnesota Vikings. I will leave the door open for the team to at least be more competitive than they were on Sunday. I hope that that's not what it's going to be the entire season, but we can only go off what we've seen, and the last 2 years have been absolutely terrible, and I will say, and I'll say this the whole season, if this is what it's going to be, like something like this, you can't let this GM pick the next quarterback. You can't let it happen.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. You blame Dable or Shane Moore for this?
I think you blame, Shane's put together, like we can go down the list of stuff. Like, where are the young players that are playing well for the Giants? Like, where are they? Like, point them out to me. Like, the play, like, I think Neighbors is going to be awesome. He's like, I can't miss guy. Where's Jalen Hyatt? Where's Evan Neal? Can't even get on the field. Like, I miss
Rob,
me with
Robinson,
all of this stuff.
Thibodeau. Robinson.
I like Wandale. Like, Wandale's a good, like, slot receiver. Yep. I don't know if he's, like, a game-changing player.
Kayvon.
I like Kayvon. Can we see Kayvon take the next step here? Yeah. Maybe we see it on Sunday. Yeah. I blame both of them. I think that they were unable to swing a trade for a franchise quarterback, given that they wanted to, is an indictment. I don't care what the teams were asking for. Think about what Ernie Accorsi traded for Eli Manning, and everyone thought at the time, oh my God, how could you trade that much? And then they won two Super Bowls. And I'm not suggesting that Daniels or May will win a Super Bowl, but if you've got conviction that that's your guy, you need to go out and get him. They didn't. They failed. End of story.
Yeah, but no, then they called out a second. Maybe they didn't have the convictions to the degree to pull the trigger on that kind of a deal.
Okay, so here would be my counter to that. Then they're stupid because, look, hear me out. They have creative control over what airs on Hard Knocks. Why did they, like, choose to let that air that they wanted to trade for one of those guys?
I have no idea. I'm not an editor or a producer.
Made for good TV.
I honestly don't know.
And what's more important, like the fake off-season TV show or, like, wins and losses on the field?
It's why I said it at the time, BT. It's not a knock on Neighbors. I just didn't like the pick. They needed a quarterback. Trey, go on. If you love Drake May.
But you got to love him. You can't like him.
Right. And Ernie, of course, he had conviction that Eli was going to be a great quarterback.
But they wanted to trade for him. Like, it's in the show.
No, I know. What I'm saying is they wanted to. Listen, there's all things that we want to do. I just bought a new car. I wanted to get a different car. It was $15,000 more. I decided, you know what? I'm going to get the other. I really like the car.
You're a star at WFAN. You can't get the $15,000.
No, but yeah. You know what I'm saying, though? Think about that, Nick. Like, there's always that line of demarcation where, hey, I really want this, but now at this point, this price point, I can't necessarily justify it. That may have happened. Now, why they allow that to air? That was a little sloppy. That's a different conversation. I'm just giving you a different spin on why they didn't pull the trigger. That's it.
Listen, like, I want to be, I would really, like, sincerely, I'd love to be wrong, and I think they're going to win on Sunday. Everything I've just said, I think they'll win on Sunday. Think they're better than Washington. I hope I'm wrong, and that Daniel Jones is awesome, and that Dable's the guy, and they can win Super Bowls in the future, and Shane's the next George Young, Ernie Accorsi, Jerry Reese. I hope it happens. Like, this is not like I really hope the team goes 0-7. I don't want that to happen, but I fear that the truth is closer to what I think than the alternative. If that's fair.
Fair. That's good.
Thank you, Nick. We appreciate it.
Yeah, wishing you guys and all the listeners, Minimal Sweats, Winning Bets, the absolute very best of luck.
That was the host of You Better, You Bet. Feisty one there. That was fun. And Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app.
And never too feisty where I can't slip in that little tag at the end.
Yeah, right.
that always cracks me up. I always forget it's coming when I hear it. I laugh.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.